Well, welcome again to you all on this snowy morning. Thank you for being able to make it over here. Not only you from Guy's Mills, but also regular and occasional visitors to our congregation. Gratitude and food, as I said earlier, are very much connected to Thanksgiving and also the holidays, but especially Thanksgiving. And I'm going, as I said earlier, I'm adding one more characteristic that sometimes is lacking, and that is having a sense of humor about it. Thanksgiving meals, and I don't know if this is the case for any of you here, can be wonderful, but there's always the possibility of some tricky moments. Political statements, for example, or condemning the food offerings really is not considered terribly proper. Now, some of you probably know Miss Manners. Have you ever read Miss Manners? Any of you know Miss Manners? Raise your hand. All right, good, thank you. Well, she is an advice columnist, and she's particularly interested in good etiquette. So she was asked several years ago how to make Thanksgiving meals more enjoyable and less argumentative. She suggested two options. One was to tell everyone up front, there are no political discussions allowed here. And if somebody doesn't like it, they can go eat at the children's table in another room. The other option was to share funny stories about cooking food for Thanksgiving, other than, of course, the third graders from Iowa. And I was thinking about that as I was thinking about this service, about Thanksgiving meals. And it made me remember a Thanksgiving Day dinner I attended a number of years ago at Larch Mountain Zen Center in Oregon when I was in monastic training. And as I recall, it was the first Thanksgiving dinner we had had after the retreat center was opened. My Zen teachers, a husband and wife of many years in training and teaching, decided it would be nice to invite the families of the residents to dinner along with special guests. So the day came, and we sorted out important details like the shape of the table so that 20 people would feel comfortable around it. We also made the executive decision that people did not have to use chopsticks. When everyone had arrived, I looked around at the gathering. I have to say it was one of the most unusual Thanksgiving meals I've ever attended. One of the young residents had his family there, parents along with a sister and brother, and they were all members of an Orthodox Jewish community. They were quite uncomfortable, and they said it subtly, about they were uncomfortable with the Buddhist statues and the rituals and the meal chants and so on. Another group that was there were three Buddhist monks from Korea. They did not speak any English, and they were there in their semi-formal monastic robes. And then there were a group of other people. And the young monks, who were all in their 20s, smiled a lot, but they were really baffled by what this meal represented and what Thanksgiving in North America might be, and let alone the vegetables and then later the turkey. It was a remarkable meal. We all did grace in different versions so that everybody had a chance to say grace. And then we waited for the turkey. My old Zen teacher asked everyone to share a funny Thanksgiving food story, and I say funny. One person shared a story about cooking a turkey with his friends, and they were using a turkey fryer, and I don't know if you've ever seen them, but it's like a barrel shape, and it's about, I think, this big and about that wide. Has anybody ever used those? Yeah. And they didn't bother to read the instructions because they were guys, you know, no bother. And so they heated the oil to almost boiling, and then they put the turkey in, and the turkey was frozen. Exactly. And they were quite astonished about 5 minutes later when the turkey exploded and landed somewhere on the roof of the house. Now, I was thinking, how do I beat that story? And then I remembered another Thanksgiving dinner I'd had a few years earlier when I was doing a one-year interim ministry in Illinois. After I had accepted the interim position, they got to work finding me an apartment in downtown Alton, where Lee Church was. And it turned out that one of the members of the church was the wife of a local landlord. He wasn't a member of the congregation, although his wife had been urging him to join for many years, and he thought Unitarian Universalism was just, well, a little strange. So one of his properties was conveniently close to the church. It was ideal, and I rented it and moved in. And then a couple months later, I offered to help cook for Thanksgiving at church. Now, I enjoy cooking Asian food, and it's always been an educational experience for me. I had always wanted to try one of the hardest recipes in Chinese cooking, Beijing or Peking duck. It's fairly complicated. My first problem was finding a duck. I went to a store and I got one of those frozen ones that, you know, it's hard as a rock, but it fits perfectly for what I needed. So I thawed it out and I cleaned out the cavity and began the preparations. The skin had to be separated from the flesh somewhat, and then a special marinade. And that took time to prepare too. Finally, I covered the duck in the marinated sauce. All good. But then the directions, because I read the directions, posed a dilemma. They specified that the duck had to be thoroughly dried before it was cooked. And I started thinking, okay, how am I going to handle this one? But I came up with a perfectly logical solution. I took some string and I hung the duck from the shower head in the bathroom. To facilitate drying, because it had to be dried fairly quickly, I got a fan and a stool, and I put the fan on it and started blowing air over the duck as it gently swayed in the shower. I walked over to the church to work for a couple of hours until the next phase of the duck project. I had totally forgotten that the landlord had told me that he was coming to the apartment that day to fix a leaky faucet in the bathroom. It would be an understatement to say that he was surprised when he walked into the bathroom and saw the duck rotating in the wind below the shower nozzle. Now, fortunately, everyone at the table at the Zen Center laughed. They thought it was funny. And other funny stories were shared. And then finally, the turkey arrived, and we started eating. Now, there was still some faintly intense angst at the table because we had a number of different cultures who weren't really connected to each other sitting at the same table, and it seemed a little mysterious at times. So we got to eating, and there was a little intensity, but not too bad. And then we found the opportunity for gratitude. Food, humor, gratitude. We ate the food, and we passed the mashed potatoes and asked for gravy. All was going well. Suddenly, the other brother of the resident fainted. His head hit the mashed potato and butter on his plate. Apparently, he'd had the flu, and he definitely needed a lot of rest. Both of my Zen teachers were medical physicians, and they got up and checked on the young man. Some of us got washcloth and washed his face off, and then we took him upstairs to an empty bedroom for a rest. And we all took turns for the next 2 hours checking on him to making sure he was okay. But here's the thing that happened. Where before this little incident had happened, there was a little bit of tension and intensity. When we got back to the table after taking care of the young man, we continued eating, but there was gratitude in the room. The family of this young man were so appreciative that we dropped what we did whatever we could to help him and them, and made sure that the young man was going to be okay. And that was deeply appreciated by the family. And we also saved food for him later, by the way. And he was fine after a few hours. And that's where gratitude really came in, because, no, it wasn't an easy meal at first. But that particular family enjoyed the gratitude that we gave their son so much that they came to the next several Thanksgivings, because they wanted to join us together. Sometimes we think gratitude is something big and important and world-changing, but it really doesn't have to be that. We know that. Bringing food here for the meal today, opening the door for someone. I could go on and on with the particular virtues of gratitude. I do want to mention, and this is gratitude at work, thanking the people who prepared yesterday and this morning for the meal, and that was Corrine, Rich, Amy, Jason, and Jenna, among others. And that's gratitude as well. But we're all going to go home fairly soon, and we're going to go back to our lives, our teaching, our education, addressing those big, huge questions of life. What is the meaning of our lives? What is our role as human beings here? And I think some of it comes down to food and humor, but all the kindnesses that we do now and in the future, because every one of us in this room is going to be doing acts and words of gratitude in the course of your lives. That's one reason we have religious communities. So I'm going to end on a poem that I saw on social media a few days ago. The person who wrote it is Danusha Lamaris, and she is a writer. She's written a couple of books, and she's a poet here in the United States. And the title of this poem is Small Kindnesses. Small Kindnesses. See if any of it resonates. I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, the people pull in their legs to let you by. Or how strangers still say, bless you, when someone sneezes. A leftover from the plague in the dark ages. Don't die, we are saying. And sometimes, when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person who handed it to us. To smile at them, and to be smiled in return. And for the driver in the red pickup to let us pass and wave. We have so little of each other now. So far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. And what if they are the true dwelling of the holy? These temples, these fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat. Are you having a good day? Thank you.